Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Laughter for a Change, Ed Greenberg.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, mezzo-soprano Amanda Boudreau. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited to have this conversation with our guest today, and also to have our musical guest with us. You know, it's interesting. You look hard enough. You think about something long enough. The answers come. I'm so excited because a while back, as a lot of you know, we started Life Improvement, the Life Improvement Workshop. And I've said some things during the Life Improvement Workshop that I've said, how come, you know, improv is for comedy? And I learned something from Ed Greenberg today that I'm going to let him share with all of you as an answer to that. But I also have to say that I remember, as I've been taking comedy classes and acting and all that stuff, I remember going up to a comedy workshop leader who was a lady of Jewish descent. And I said to her, why is it that there are so many Jewish comedians? And she said, not only Jewish, but you're Italian. A lot of Italian comedians, have you noticed that? And then a lot of African-American comedians, have you noticed that? And I said, yeah. And she says, you know why? I'll tell you why. She says, because we laugh not to cry. And that was her take on it. And, you know, I've thought about that for years. And I think now, today, if there's a time we need to laugh and not to cry, this is the time. So improv is becoming such an important part of helping people laugh, of helping people cope. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation with Ed Greenberg here today. And in a little later on, music by Amanda Boudreau. All when we come back on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm sitting here with Mark Legere, a co-host, and another funny man.
Fellow laugh maker.
Fellow fun, yes. Fellow and happy maker.
Happy maker, yes, indeed. Every improvisational moment of life.
No, but seriously, actually, I was talking with Ed about that before the show. It's like every moment is an improv moment. I mean, we don't. How can we can plan, but
and we don't do it enough. And I'll give the shout out to Dorothy on this because our executive producer is always the one saying, laugh it off, just laugh it off.
You're right. And she also says, he who laughs wins,
most wins. I think.
Yes,
I think it's he or she who laughs most wins.
Yes, you know, maybe that should be like the new thing instead of the man with the most toys at the end wins or something.
There you go.
The man who's laughed the most.
Or that laughs with their toys. Or no, it's not about the toys. About the laughter. Yes, indeed.
And it's our guest. Love and laughter.
Love and laughter.
So I already have learned so much, and I can't wait to share with all of you what I have learned from our guest, Ed Greenberg. He is not only the founder, but the executive producer of Laughter for a Change, and how that came about is an interesting story in itself. But he's got many more interesting stories. Of course, he's a veteran in this business. I hope it's okay to say that, from voiceover to coaching and all of that. Without further ado, Ed Greenberg, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
It's
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure to have you. It's a, now, go ahead, make us laugh.
See, it worked.
It work.
There you go.
Thank you for that.
All right,
actually,
no problem.
So let's start at the very beginning. So I said to you that in Life Improvement, we have created a system where the improv tools aren't just for funny. And you said...
Well, I said, actually, originally, the very birth of improvisational theater in America, which all of the improv comedy comes out of, is for social change.
Wow.
And that is goes back to a woman by the name of Viola Spolin, who was working at a settlement house in Chicago, working with immigrants, mostly young people, and inner city residents. And
immigrants, I mean, that's exactly a topic for today.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a very direct lineage to what I do with Laughter for a Change out of Viola and her son, Paul Sills, and my mentor, Del Close, to what I do. It's a straight line.
Wow.
As straight a line as improv can be.
So here's this group of immigrants. And,
right. And Viola. And her mentor was in collected children's games from all over the world.
Mm.
And Viola had this job of building community. And some of these people didn't even speak the same language.
Wow.
And she, in a insight and flash of genius, which I think she qualifies for that.
In an improv moment.
In an improv moment, created theater games.
Wow.
So that play could be the common ground.
Wow.
And her son, and it worked phenomenally well. Her son, who grew up literally at his mother's knee around the games for his whole life, when he was a student at the University of Chicago and wanted to be a theater director, started using the games in public performance with actors. And out of that came eventually the Second City in Chicago, Second City, which is the home of Stephen Colbert, Tina Fey.
Right.
You know,
and
Steve Carell,
on.
and on and on
yes.
and on. Yeah. So that's the history.
Fantastic history. Never knew that.
It is. It's very
amazing.
Interesting.
As a vehicle for social change. And somehow, I mean, we've talked to a lot of improv people. That story has never been shared. Somehow it's gotten lost in translation, or it's become, it's been watered down to the funny thing.
Right.
Well, which is important.
It's important, and it comes from the same places, which how do people connect with each other? That's how can we be kind to each other, support each other, and be empowered by that act of connectivity and community building?
Wow.
So out of that comes laughter, which you could theorize a lot, but what I basically say is if you are honest on stage and feel supported so that you can be truthful, the audience watches your humanity happen. They relate to it.
Wow.
In all its messiness.
Yes.
And
yes.
The sound of their relating and connecting to you is laughter.
You know, this is interesting that you should say that, because in my head, I've been thinking of a scene that just happened a couple weeks ago at a concert in Connecticut. I was called to the stage. It was a hot, muggy day, and I'm from Los Angeles, right? So it was muggy out there. I got called to the stage, and I got out there, and the first words out of my mouth was, "I'm sweating up here." I hadn't even done anything yet. And the whole audience just burst into laughter. And I thought, you know, here I am in a tuxedo. Like, how crass to say something like that. But we connected immediately.
And there's no greater feeling for a performer than to not know they're going to laugh.
Right.
And no worse feeling than to be sure they're going to laugh and bam, nothing.
Crickets.
Well, it went worse than that. So the lady who introduced me, who was still on stage at that moment, was walking off. And I actually used the word, you'll appreciate this, Ed. I said, at first I said, I'm schwitzing.
right? Which, of course, is
Jewish for sweating.
For sweating, but I thought it was a little bit more polite. And she's Hungarian. So she turned around as she's walking off stage with the microphone in her hand, and she might not have thought she said this out loud. And she said to somebody, "What did he say? He's shitting." Oh, boy.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. And the audience lost it. So what a way to make a connection through laughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
And so there are many things that people connect on, but getting them to connect through laughter. So what inspired you? Now we know the backstory of improv. What inspired you to pursue this?
Well, I loved it from the second I tried it. And once again, you know, I was very fortunate or whatever brought me into the room with this guy, Del Close, who is now an icon of improvisational theater.
Viola's son.
Viola's son was Paul Sills, and Paul and Viola were teachers of Del Close.
Okay.
So it's a lineage.
And then Dale
was directing the committee in San Francisco, which was a very popular improvisational theater. And I went to a workshop there, and within side of of 5 minutes, first of all, I realized, oh, this is one of the smartest people I've ever come across in my life. And then I got on stage and did a scene, and Dell and I just, you know, there was a creative rapport that was strong and undeniable, and it remained between us for the rest of his life, literally till the day he died. Mm-hmm. I was at his hospital bed with him.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. So Dell was what imbued me with the spirit of improvisation. And then I did it my whole life, and I directed Second City, and I was always around comedy, doing voiceovers in this very room.
In this very room, that's right. Yeah, with this gentleman,
our very own
Brent Hahn here at Studio
exactly,
No.
Exactly.
That's right.
Anyway, in 2007, I was introduced to a filmmaker from Rwanda.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, this is a good story. We're not going to want to interrupt. Listen, as I'm interrupting, we're not going to want
to re-interrupt.
Once you get into that story, we're not going to want to interrupt it. So let's take a quick break right now.
Of course.
We'll come back to Rwanda. This is fascinating, and I love the story. And we're obviously talking to Ed Greenberg, and we're going to be talking a little bit later. This is leading into Laughter for a Change. And so information on that, laughterforachange.org. And that's the website. And a little
and
later.
And our Facebook page.
And it's also on Facebook. On absolutely. Facebook. Actually, yes. All over.
And our Twitter feed. And.
And follow.
Yeah.
So when we get back, more with Ed Greenberg and a little later on, a music by Amanda Boudreau, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our co-host Mark Lejeur and our guest Ed Greenberg. We couldn't stop talking about it during the break. So hold that thought, actually. So now we're going to go back to the one that you started before we went to the break, and it was about Rwanda. And people probably need to know that this is post-genocide Rwanda. Right. So take it from there.
So the big genocide in Rwanda was in 1994.
Right.
And I was there in 2007, and I had met this Rwandan filmmaker who, like with his whole generation, had come back to Rwanda as part of the Rwanda Liberation Forces.
Okay.
After the genocide. And he had, again, this, you know, just whatever stroke of insight that he was tired of making documentaries about the genocide. And he realized that the way to really move Rwanda forward out of the dark into the light was to do comedy.
Wow.
So he, through connections with the Department of State, went looking for a comedy teacher to be a cultural envoy to Rwanda from the State Department. Hmm. And Eric Kibera, this filmmaker, came to me and he said, I want you to come to Rwanda to help my people learn to laugh again.
Wow.
So the next thing I knew, I was on an almost 2-day plane flight to Rwanda, and I wasn't sure, you know, what to do, or I didn't know anything about what might be in Rwanda at that point. Mm. But I had the theater games, you know, the games we were talking about before that were
right.
so powerful and effective in Chicago
right.
and created Second City out of those games.
Right.
And I said, the games will work. I know they will.
Wow.
And I also brought a bunch of DVDs in the first morning in the room with these young people. I showed Lucy and the Chocolate Factory right out of the bat. You know, the Lucy and the Chocolate Factory scene.
What, it just, you mean Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Well, Lucy, the original Lucille Ball show on television. There's the scene. If you haven't,
Lucille Ball,
Lucy is getting
eating
a job,
all the chocolate.
And she's eating all the chocolate. So I figured, okay. You know, that's the most iconic
right.
scene. Right. And I played it for them. And it's just, you know, it all of a
laugh.
Sudden, comedy is universal.
Wow.
You know?
Mm.
So we played theater games, and then after about 8 days of intensive morning till mid-afternoon workshops in theater games, we got them together, and they had ideas for comedy sketches, and there were some brilliant African musicians, you know, that's so much music in that part of the world, so much great music.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing a show with music and comedy, and it was just, you know, the Rwandans, and not to hang on it for too, there was a Rwandan sage who can only speak Kinyarwanda, their native language, and I had him. I said, does this remind you of anything in the old days? This is after the show. And he said, yes. He said, back in the tribal days in Rwanda, when the tribes would go off to war, they would come back to the hall of the king. And if they had lost the war, it would be a very sad, you know, people would be playing dead on the floor. If they had a victory, there would be dancing and music, and it would be very upbeat and very celebratory. He said, this show is like when they won.
Wow.
So
well, I got goosebumps.
Yeah, so too. That was a really beautiful moment of, once again, connection to, through history and across, you know, time and the other side of the planet. And I came home and I said, I got to do this as many places as I can. And I had been teaching seniors to do improv, you know, older people. And I said, okay, well, here's my first group. You know, and we ended up forming Spring Chickens, the first Laughter for a Change project, which was seniors going to retirement homes and convalescent homes and doing improv for their peers.
Oh, wow.
And then other, you know, we got our 501c3 nonprofit status and other projects working with former gang members. Doing improv.
Tell us about that.
Oh, that was great. That was great. I mean, there's so many stories, you know. These kids, and there were some tough kids, you know, with attitudes, and they were in this place where they had been right in front of a judge who said, instead of, for whatever reason, the judge would have the choice of sending them off to prison or to give them another chance. And he would send them to this residence where there was a school and classes and activities and sports and, you know, a chance
and
to turn
improv.
Is that improv.
What you're saying? Really?
Yeah, and a chance to turn your life around, you know? Wow. So these kids, and the one that I remember most is
There should be more of those.
It should be everywhere, yeah. But the criminal justice system is a whole other story, as we know. But, yeah.
We'll tackle one thing at a time. But anyway, so back to, you said there was this one kid or the story.
Well, there was this group of kids and we were doing this improv game that was singing songs. I won't get into the details of it, but at some point, spontaneously, all these kids started at all at once singing the SpongeBob SquarePants theme. And it was just in the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. And it was all these kids who had, you know, who 5 seconds ago were these tough kids. And they were just children playing together. Wow. And it was, you know, it was just one of those moments. And we have, different versions of that with all of the programs we've done. You know, the vets, these guys dealing with post-traumatic stress who, you know, one guy really was having a problem and was finally he did something. And it worked and everybody liked it so much. And he had been in the war and he challenged me right away. He said, I'm not going to do anything funny. Nothing that happened to me in the war was funny. I said, hey, you know, fine. We're not going to push you into making fun of your experience. And then he got up and did something, and we took a little break. It was a lovely little, simple little improv thing they did. And when we came back, he volunteered for the very next thing. And it was great. And everybody like, and then he said very quietly, he said, you know, before I went to war, I was in all the high school plays. I did musicals. This is right here tonight's the first time I've done anything like that since I was at war.
I was just going to say before that, when you were talking about the gang members and how powerful that is,
yeah,
that veterans or even the older folks are still all kids playing together, right?
Well,
so that's what you've done is be a catalyst bringing back into that childlike state.
No, it's the power of play. It's really... it's really great. And we do, now we have a project where we go and do with a bunch of My Laughter for a Change improv people, we go do interactive improv show at Children's Hospital LA. And you know, just that moment where you see like the parents and the sick kids laughing together, is it comes back at you, so it feeds us. Yeah, it's really powerful stuff.
Can you invite me to one of those things? I'd love to help you with that.
We'll talk about it. They do have pretty strict rules, but we'll see what we can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, so that's just some of the projects. And I was in China with kids. Actually, they were TV stars. They were on the biggest hit comedy show in China. But they had grown up in these one child per family, never shared, never had siblings. So, and also a very competitive society there, you know, with a few people rising to the top, and everybody's very competitive. And I did improv with them and told them, you know, the way we do it and the way all these people, Steve Carell, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you see them on TV, the way they became celebrities and gained their success was through cooperation, was through having each other's back. That changed their whole perspective. I mean, it blew their minds.
Mark and Dorothy and I, we've had some meetings lately talking to people about our show, and this is exactly it right here, how you were invited on our show, and you could talk about anything you want. You, of course, could make yourself look great, as a lot of people do, by saying, I worked with this celebrity and that one, and I taught this celebrity and that A-lister and all that stuff. And, oh, we were just at a party with so-and-so at so-and-so's house. And you come in here and you talk about the vets and the children, and I'm getting emotional. That's our show. That's, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. And these are the people that are making a difference out in the world. And what really matters, I can't think of anything that matters more than what you're saying today.
Thank you. You know, I do want to say one more
thing. Oh, now you're going to drop a name, right?
I was actually.
I said that. I can't believe this.
Who is it? Go ahead.
You laugh, you cry. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't think of any famous people's names. But, you know, on the 24th, let me a little plug for Lael. Do you know Lael?
Yes, of course. Yes, so yes, she introduced you to us. Lael Beloved, thank you so much. And the Yes Salon, please do make
a plug. The Yes Salon. So on the 24th, Poems for Peace is a celebration of peace, and International Peace Day is on the 21st, but the 24th is a weekend. So that will be out there too. And you get, it's at Cine Family, and you can go to Lael Beloved on Facebook, and there's invites to that event. So that's, you know, that's what kind of brought me here, was our connection together. And Laughter for a Change will be doing interactive improv there.
Fun. Yes, we've posted that as well. And with a thank you to Lael. Thank you for dropping that name. Absolutely. That's Yes Salon. And it'll be the Poems for Peace event.
Yeah.
Very, very, very special. So we have more when we come back. So I trust you'll have more stories.
I'll think of something. Some celebrity I must have spent some time with.
Improv something. So more with Ed Greenberg when we come back. And in just a little bit, live music. Like, we've never had this kind of music before by Amanda Boudreau here on The Life Changes Show after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through The Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, host of the Life Changes Show, sitting here with Mark Legere, co-host, and our guest, Ed Greenberg. Remember, this is a nonprofit organization. Laughter for a Change is a nonprofit organization founded by by Ed Greenberg, who's also the executive director. Laughter for a Change. You can go to laughterforachange.org and donate money, of course. What about time, Ed?
We're always talking to people who want to get involved, and we're doing new projects all the time. And improv experience is not a prerequisite.
Although, well, you could teach
most
them.
Exactly. But there's all kinds of things that are done. You know, it's also running a business.
Sure, of
which
course.
Which is, it's a corporation, even though it's a nonprofit one.
Of course.
So there's a lot of roles for people who want to be part of this.
Excellent. I was going to ask you, do you still have time to either act or coach or any of that? Because you used to coach at UCLA and USC and
right, past,
you know,
right.
Do you still?
I do. I write is the main thing I do, but I do coach. They can contact me through the website for anyone who's interested
at laughterforachange.org.
Laughterforachange.org.
Okay.
And and I do like speaking things and conferences and training and a lot of people who want to enhance their public presentation skills.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And for that as well, they could reach you at laughterforachange.org.
Exactly.
And I know you're writing a book-ish.
Book-ish, yes.
And I know you've got a movie, that's for sure. You've written a movie.
I have written a script about the early days of improv that
I think it's. I know that's been around for a while, that script, but I think the time has come for that to be made.
Well, it is. Okay. It is, and it's the main character who I mentioned earlier, Del Close, Del's one of the characters in it. So yeah.
Well,
world knows him, even if, you know.
If the general public doesn't. But we'd love to know about it when that happens. And it will. Now, you wanted to actually talk about celebrities. You wanted to give a plug to a celebrity who's doing something that you thought was...
Well, you know, it's not even so much directly because we were joking about I didn't come in to talk about celebrities,
right.
But it's interesting for me to note that some of the people who have become celebrities out of the improv world, how they approach the work. And the one that we were talking about during the break was Amy Poehler,
right.
And her work with an organization. She started Smart Girls and Smart Girls at the Party. And what it basically does is it brings together people without a loud voice because of their celebrity, but who are just functioning in the world. And community is being built through these acts of understanding that there's a lot of people out there who need to be empowered and want to be empowered. And if you have the wherewithal, you can empower them.
Awesome. Well, I want to empower some words that you said before the show that I thought were so important. I said, you should write that down. And you looked around for a piece of paper and I said, don't worry, I'll write it down for you. Not only will I write it down, I'm gonna quote you right here and right now on the Life Changes Show. You said, improv makes it okay for not knowing how to handle it. Ed Greenberg, could you share what the it is and what you mean by that?
Well, we were talking about a specific circumstance that you had just kind of made up, I think.
Well, it's actually an example that I use in our Life Improvement Workshop. However, without getting specific, we have improv moments happen all the time.
Right. Okay. So what I said was something in the realm of, it's okay not to know how to handle a situation because we are living in a world that is pretty much wall-to-wall situations we're not quite sure how to handle.
Changing all the time.
So what improv teaches you to do is just be open to the moment where between you and other people that you trust, discoveries can be made.
Because I'd like to add to that, not knowing is sometimes, not knowing that we don't know is sometimes a way to find the answer.
Right.
Instead of going for, as we were joking about, instead of just rolling the tape that's in our head that we saw our parents do it this way or our relatives or friends or whatever. It's like, well, it's always been done this way. So we yell now.
Right. Especially living in the world we live in, which is accelerating so fast and changing so completely all the time that what you know now in 5 minutes is going to be different anyway. So
pulling a gun might not be the answer.
I don't think it ever is. Really.
But exactly. Well, good.
Well, unless it's a water gun.
Unless it's a water gun or one that has a little flag that says bang. When
there you go. Well,
as long as it doesn't look like a real gun, though.
Okay. And that's another show.
Yeah. More on that next week.
Ed, it's been a pleasure having you not only on the show, but getting to know you more. And I'd like to get to know you more after the show.
Okay, we'll make that happen. Thank you.
Look forward to potentially doing something together. But already, so there's the Yes Salon coming up on the 24th.
Right.
And then people can find out about other events at laughterforachange.org.
Yes.
And we look forward to all the good things that you're doing.
Thank you very much.
What a pleasure. Thank you, Ed Greenberg, for Laughter for a Change. And when we come back, Amanda Boudreau live here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Ed Greenberg. And joining us in the studio is Amanda Boudreau. She's a mezzo-soprano, an opera singer, a vocal coach, and we are so happy to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy you're here, too. You know, I met you a couple years ago through Terry Kano, who used to be my musical director.
Yes.
And when I met you, or the last time I saw you, actually, you were Amanda Leader. What
happened? I was. Well, what happened, Filippo, was about a year ago, I actually got married to my wonderful husband, Chris Boudreau, who's listening right now. So, hi, baby. Love you.
Hi, baby.
So I got married September 25th last year.
Wow, a year, like a year almost ago, like right year. Now. Wow, yeah, so happy anniversary.
Thank you. I know, I can't believe it already. It'll be 2 weeks, actually. So exciting stuff. Wow. Yeah.
That's very special.
Yeah.
Well, so now you're Amanda Boudreau.
I am. I go by Amanda Boudreau, but to avoid confusion for a lot of people, and this was mostly when I was still finishing out my graduate work, I was trying to transition my professors and colleagues from Amanda Leader to Amanda Boudreau. So I went for a while Amanda Leader Boudreau, so there was no confusion because I started putting Boudreau, and then everyone was like, who is Amanda Boudreau? So... So you'll still see that floating around on certain social medias and things like that. But yes, I do go by Amanda Boudreau now.
Well, just to add to the confusion,
sure,
you are going to be singing Leader songs.
I am.
Can you explain that? Amanda Leader Boudreau, Leader songs.
Sure. So German Lieder is a type of art song. It actually originated, obviously, in Germany in the Romantic era. And a lot of it has to do with themes of nature and love and life and death. And a lot of it is based off of poetry that was written by poets who were alive during that time. A lot of times the poets and the composers worked together. Schubert was a big fan of doing that. He wrote over 600 German Lieder pieces. And what it translates to is German songs. So German Lieder, German song.
Spelled differently from Amanda Lieder.
That's right. It's Lieder, German Lieder. That's right. So, okay.
So this will be the very first time that German Lieder is presented on the Life Changes show.
Ooh, exciting.
So you're our first. And you might need to explain what you're singing because my German these days, really bad.
Sure. I was kind of already prepared to give a little bit of a synopsis of what the pieces were about. So my lovely pianist, Britt, and I, we are going to be performing two selections from Edvard Grieg, who is actually a Norwegian composer, but he loved German poetry and the style of German Lieder. And he wrote a cycle called the Sechslieder, Opus 48. He's predominantly known as a piano composer, so... Britt's actually done a lot of his solo
piano
works.
This is not confusing at all.
I know, right? But he loved German music. And so he wrote these set of six songs, which are actually not really well known, which is really cool that we got to perform them because they're really beautiful. So we're performing two out of the six pieces tonight.
Now, you're a big fan of doing things that aren't very well known. So it's
very interesting
that you're putting out stuff that's not done.
Yes.
So, actually, before we go on, I'd like to try and pronounce Britt's last name. Is it Zhao?
Zhao, yes. You got it right.
No, you said it better, though. what nationality is that name?
China. I come from
China.
Oh,
that's Chinese. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you play German Lieder pieces by Grieg, who is Norwegian. This is awesome.
We have like a whole world thing
going on here today.
That's what we're doing. So we just thought, you know, hey, to keep it interesting, we're going to bring it all together.
And here we are. We are the world.
Our listeners
that's right.
At the end of the show.
I know. Right. There's going to be a quiz, guys. So make sure you're paying attention.
What is the first piece called?
Sure. So the first piece that we'll be doing is called Lauf der Welt. And that means way of the world. And
Does it have to be done like one and then immediately after the other, or can we talk in between?
No, we can talk in between.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we're already kind of taking them out of order anyway, because they're, like I said, a set of six, and we're only doing the two. So that's fine.
Well, this is exciting. Well, let me introduce this. So this is Amanda Boudreau doing la, blah, 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 blah.
That was so close. You almost had me fooled that you were German.
No, how would say it? Tell me one more time.
Sure. It's Lauf der Welt.
Okay, here's Lauf der Welt, Amanda Boudreau, live at Studio
Very
Noho
good.
On the Life Changes show.
An jedem Abend geh ich hausen auf den Wiesensteg. Sie schaut aus ihrem Gartenhaus, stehe dort am Weg. Wir haben uns noch nie bestellt, es ist nur so die Lauf der Welt. Es ist nur so der Sie. Ich bitte nicht, sie sagt nicht ja, doch sagt sie Meinung nie. Wenn Lippen auf Lippen ruht, wer hebt es nicht und tut es gut. Das Lüftchen mit der Rosen spielt, das fragt nicht, hast mich lieb. Das Rüschen sich am Taue kommt, das sagt nicht lange gib. Ich liebe sie, sie liebet mich, doch keines sagt, ich liebe dich. Doch keines sagt, ich liebe dich.
Nice. Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
So Amanda Boudreau, and let me spell that for you because her website is amandaboudreau.com. So Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A. Amanda, Boudreau, B-O-U-D-R-E-A-U.
Yes.
AmandaBoudreau.com.
Yes.
Okay. So that was Way of the World?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now I was going to ask you, was the Way of the World good or bad? But I understood Ich liebe dich, mm-hmm. which means I love you.
Mm-hmm.
So the world must be good.
Well, it's kind of a funny little piece. It's it tells a story of two people who live close to each other, and they had a brief romantic encounter a long time ago, but neither one of them actually acknowledge it. But the middle part is basically a recall back to that, that wonderful kiss, and it's been so long. I wonder why she doesn't want to kiss me anymore. And then at the end, they're saying, you know, I love her, and she loves me, but neither one of us will say anything about it.
In other words, it's complicated.
Translate, i.e. complicated. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
But they're Facebook friends.
But they're Facebook
Yes, and their status friends. Is complicated.
Right. Well, okay, in this second piece, do they come together, or what's this one called?
In my opinion, this one is, it's like... It's very erotic. It's it's about this dream, right? They're dreaming about this person and they are so in love with this idea, whoever this person is in their dream. And then when they wake up, they realize, oh, it was only a dream. How sad, you know? Mm. And they really, really want it to be real instead of just in their dream. So it's kind of this really
lush, right?
I know. But it's this really lush piece, and it's fun because it shows off the piano a lot, and you can hear it. That's what makes it so much more like, ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I see. Now, it's interesting because I was going to say, watching you, you're going through all these emotions.
Yeah.
And
I was
watching you. Now I'm going to watch Britt here. Mm-hmm. Do you go through some of the same emotions, or you're just accompanying?
Actually, I do because, a lot of part, we have to match each other, like, really well.
Uh-huh.
So it's not going to be just like I play by myself because I have to match her. So basically I have to go through her emotion as well. So that's why we're so bonded together so well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a duet.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
Me being a singer, I will never say I'm a solo person with an accompanist.
Nice.
It really is a duet. And it's so important to remember that because Britt's role is just as important as mine because without her, there would be no performance of this. And I think some people kind of get lost in that. And they think, oh, well, that's just the accompanist. They're there to support me. And they're there to, like, you know, do these things. And I think that's what separates somebody from being, you know, somebody that's singing the music and not really understanding what they're doing and then being an artist, you know?
Well, that's what Ed Greenberg was saying earlier is that these people got famous because, or not, but these famous people understand that it's all collaborative.
It is collaborative. You are never a solo person, regardless if you're doing something like what we're doing, just as a two-person performance or recital, or you're in an entire production or, you know, a play, anything.
Or you're in a studio and there's a host and a co-host and a guest.
True.
You
can't live your whole
engineer
life
and
serious? That's right. You could not do this show without your engineer and without all the other lovely people, your producer that put this on, right?
Producer, absolutely.
That's right.
Looking at us saying, come on. It's time for the song.
Wrap it up. It's very, very important to know that. And that's why I loved doing this piece with her, because it really shows off the piano and more of Edvard Grieg's strengths as a pianist. And you can see that just by looking at it, but also hearing it in the piano.
Wow, how fun. Now, what is this called in German?
This is Ein Traum. So this means the dream.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ein Traum.
Do they ever make it?
So sad. Do you not know the struggle of romantic period music? It's all about like agony and pain and, I wish it was this way, but it shall not be.
So in the first song, it's like it's complicated on Facebook. The second song, they're doing it in the dream, but never in real life.
Yeah, okay. I know. Doesn't it make you go, so angry? I know. I can understand. But that was the whole kind of appeal of romantic music. So there you go.
So before the piece, I just want to make note that people, of course, can follow you on Facebook, speaking of, and also they can hire you at gigmasters, right.com?
Yeah,
right? As a soloist, but you also teach not only singing, but piano.
I do. I'll teach a little bit of piano. I only teach beginning piano.
That German accent.
That wasn't German.
That was not a German accent.
That was improv.
You know, my husband's probably laughing right now because I am the worst at accents. He's probably laughing because I make him laugh all the time at home with my horrible accents. But no, I do. I teach beginning piano. And then once my students get up to a certain point, then I send them off to someone like Britt, who teaches advanced and intermediate
advanced
level piano. Yeah, she's like the pianist, you know. And then I mix a lot of, you know, basic music theory and learning about how to read music, because beginning piano is really about understanding what music is and learning it as a language. And then once you get those things down, then you can start to progress towards more advanced piano or vocal music or whatever. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I teach both.
You're delightful.
Thank you.
Really are. It's good to see you again. And with that, let me see. Did you say Ein Traum?
Yeah, that was very good.
Okay, here's Amanda Boudreau and Britt Tsao at the piano performing Ein Traum here live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Mir träumt einst ein schöner Traum. Mich liebt eine blonde Braut. Es war am grünen Waldesraum. Es war so warm in Frühlingszeit. Die Knospe sprang, der Walburg schwor. Fern aus dem Dorf verscholl Geläut. Es war am grünen Waldesraum, es war so warm in Frühlingszeit. Der Waldbach schwoll, die Knospe sprang, geläut der Schall vom Dorf her. Ich hielt dich fest, ich hielt dich lang und lasse dich nun
Nice.
Brilliant.
Wow. Very nice. Well, that was Ein Traum, The Dream.
Yes.
By Grieg.
Yes.
And sung by Amanda Leader-Boudreau.
There you go.
And performed also at the piano by Britt Sau. This has been very special.
Thank you. Thank you. Loved being here. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being our first.
Yes. Yes.
Our first German leader.
Hopefully first of many.
Well, wonderful. Keep up the beautiful work that you're doing.
Congratulations
on your upcoming anniversary.
Thank you.
And thank you again to both of you for being here. AmandaBoudreau.com. We have the website on our webpage and on Facebook, et cetera, at Life Changes Network and Life Changes Show. But otherwise, Amanda, AmandaBoudreau, Boudreau.com. And thank you also to Ed Greenberg, and thank you for what you're doing with Laughter for a Change at laughterforachange.org and all over the world. This has been quite a special show for all of us, I feel. Thank you all. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Legere, and our engineer, Brent Hahn, here at Studio NoHo, who makes this all sound so good.
Yes, thank you.
And also a nod to BBS Radio and Doug Newsom, our program engineer. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, saying, as your life changes like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.